Joined right now by Brian Caravu of CheeseheadTV.com. And Brian joins me to talk Packers draft plans. And Brian, first of all, it's been a really long time since we've talked, but thank you for taking some time out for me today. I don't think we've talked since, well, at least on the air, since all the way back in the NFL playoffs. So welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's been a while. We're in the middle of the NFL offseason, but about to get things ramped up here with the NFL draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the schedule release and then the draft all back-to-back. It makes it for a very interesting latter portion of April. And I think for Wisconsin fans, kind of a welcome diversion from whatever the heck the Brewers and the Bucks are doing. So this is probably a great time for, for Wisconsin fans to really maybe focus in a bit on this as a welcome diversion from all of that. The Packers in the NFL draft, this is, I think, the important part of the offseason for the Packers. They've done such a good job in scouting and building through the draft that this ends up taking on a little more significance here in this part of the state, or well, in this part of the country, I should say, and for the Green Bay Packers fans as a whole, because as you look up and down the Packers roster, a lot of these guys are homegrown talents.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers, they have this draft and develop philosophy under Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy where, you know, they draft these guys and they're here for several years, and those are the kind of guys they like to sign to contract extensions. They don't get involved in free agency as much as other teams in the NFL, so the guys they take now, you're going to be seeing them in a Packers uniform still down the road 7-8 years from now, so definitely a big emphasis placed on the draft in Green Bay.
We'll do a positional breakdown in just a moment, but the overall draft philosophy for the Packers has been interesting to follow under Ted Thompson. And I remember before the Super Bowl win, how much you would be criticized for some of the picks that they were making and how, you know, certain things weren't working out for them, that they were spending high picks in positions that weren't necessarily need. I think back to even Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, Jordy Nelson getting a receiver early in the second round when at the time the Packers appeared to be stacked. I know that that time has come and gone. I think that he's validated himself to a point, but it is interesting to see how his legacy as the Packers general manager has changed over the years, and really how his draft strategy hasn't changed despite some of the early criticism, of course, now the recent praise.
Yeah, I think generally Ted Thompson takes the best player available. Ideally that they take the best player available at a position of need, but he's not going to shy away from somebody who he thinks is going to be really good, and that's just kind of the way he's operated, and it's worked for him. So I expect that to continue this year and as long as Ted Thompson's the general manager.
Brian Caravu is from CheeseheadTV.com, and at CheeseheadTV.com right now, you can pick up the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Just go to their webpage. They have it in PDF format, so if you're listening to this today, you can head on over and purchase that draft guide, a very, very in-depth and very well put together draft guide put together by the folks there at Cheesehead TV. And you are listening to Sports Radio 1400 and the Water Cooler. Jimmy Cuska here. Brian, let's go through the positions. Quarterback. People are rolling their eyes, but quarterback actually could be a position of need if you talk about who's playing backup quarterback. I know if Aaron Rodgers were to go down, it wouldn't be a good thing in any case. It's not like you can just replace Aaron Rodgers, but if you're looking in terms of drafting a quarterback, I doubt it would be something high, but would it be something where the Packers could maybe see a guy with some talent later they could develop into a backup quarterback, or do you think they're pretty well set with what they've got at the moment?
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, the guy they have right now backing up Aaron Rodgers is Graham Harrell. He did, as you saw, really nothing of note in 2012. His one notable moment on the field was when he had that fumble return for a touchdown. That's about the only thing Graham Harrell did all year. There's not a whole lot of confidence in his ability. Now, the Packers did spend a seventh-round draft choice on their third stringer last year, B.J. Coleman. Kind of might depend upon how good they feel about him, whether he could make the jump up to be number two here in 2013 this year. But, I mean, neither of these guys have done so great that they are the unquestioned number two to Aaron Rodgers. So definitely could be a situation where the Packers take a quarterback late, a developmental kind of guy that they kind of bring along.
And, of course, we don't need to look too far in free agency to see the options out there. Pretty slim pickings at this point. Let's move on to running back. This is going to be a hot position and maybe a hot topic during the NFL draft. I can already see it now. I can see Mel Kiper or somebody else on the ESPN set or somebody from NFL Network, if the Packers are sitting there with a pick and there's, you know, these running backs that they've got rated so highly on the board, calling for the Packers, take the guy, please. Well, the Packers, of course, right now, it seems that running back has been a perpetual position of need. I think there's some great stats out there, not great for Packers fans, of course, but great stats about how the Packers have had virtually no production from the running back position in terms of touchdowns or yards per carry, and all of a sudden you see them linked to any number of the top running backs in the draft, including Monty Ball from Wisconsin. So the running back position certainly could be one to watch for the Packers throughout the draft, although again, as we know, there's no guarantee that that's the direction they go.
Yeah, you just never know. What's interesting is there's no running back in this year's draft that's like going to go in the top 10, even top 15 of the draft. So if the Packers wanted, they very likely could have their choice of any back they want in this year's class late in the first round. That option is available to them, not to say that they're going to do it. I like what the Packers have right now in DeJuan Harris, the back who kind of came on last year. He's about 5'8", right around 200 pounds, kind of your small back. I think what they might do at some point is get a large back, a power guy to kind of complement DeJuan Harris. Three names that really stick out to me that I think would fit the Packers system would be Eddie Lacy of Alabama, Le'Veon Bell of Michigan State, and Stephon Taylor of Stanford. Now, those guys are going to come off the board at different times, but I think they make the most sense to the Packers. Unfortunately for Badger fans, I don't think Monty Ball fits quite as well. I like Monty Ball. He's a three-down back. I just think there's maybe better fits for the Packers other than him.
Well, if we look, those are some pretty big names, too, that you listed. Who are some other names maybe later in the draft he could be looking at as in terms of running back in case the Packers are thinking otherwise early on in the draft?
Yeah, Jonathan Franklin of UCLA is another name out there. Trying to think just off the top of my head here. Mike Gillisley of Florida. These are guys with a little bit more speed to them, though. I think the Packers have the speed aspect covered with DeJuan Harris. I'm a big DeJuan Harris fan, so I kind of think they're going to kind of stick with him there. But, you know, these are some of the other names available who might be around later in the draft. But we'll see as when the Packers do it, whether they do it in the first round or they do it in the mid rounds of the draft. Chances are they're going to take a running back at some point with 8 picks overall.
The Water Cooler on Sports Radio 1400, talking to Brian Caravu of CheeseheadTV.com. I'm going to kind of group these positions together here in this next part. Receiver, tight end, and, well, I guess you can call it fullback, too. It seems that those positions can kind of float between one another depending on the play call. It's, receiver is going to be another, one of those areas with Jennings gone, Driver gone, that's going to get a lot of looks, too, I think, from Packers fans. There might be somebody that they really like. I think the West Virginia receiver has always seemed to come top of mind, although those guys should be going pretty early. And if you look at tight end, I know that people are still, you know, looking at life after JerMichael Finley. I think that kind of fits what you said earlier about how they might be looking a year down the road as opposed to just looking for this year. In fullback, you don't typically draft fullbacks, at least early in the draft, so kind of a position there where you're not really looking at top prospects for the most part. But you look at the guys catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, and you got to think that at some point, maybe within the first three or four rounds, that there's going to be somebody they bring in to kind of offset some of the losses now and, of course, after next season.
Yeah, I'd put money on the Packers addressing either a wide receiver or a tight end in the first three rounds of this draft. Now, Ted Thompson will probably make us, a fool out of me and not do that because that's what he tends to do. But anyway, no, I do think it's a good possibility. But JerMichael Finley's contract is up after the 2013 season. So what you could see is the Packers taking a tight end, I think, high now, and then he's maybe the number two guy for 2013. All of a sudden he becomes the number one option just a year down the road. So Notre Dame's Tyler Eifert is a guy who could be there at the Packers' first-round pick at number 26. I'm not sure he slides that far, but even if he doesn't, I think the Packers have options available to them in the first round and later. Stanford's Zach Ertz is a guy. San Diego State's Gavin Escobar and Rice's Vance McDonald are all some of those guys right behind Tyler Eifert, who I like and I think could come off the board in round two or round three.
Brian, let's move on to the last positional grouping on offense, and that is, of course, the offensive line. This has been an area, of course, so no matter what position, guard, tackle, center, that, again, has seen a lot of turnover over the past few years. But and, of course, with the pass protection, too, they've had some issues there. But, again, this year, it's hard to tell where these guys will fall because it seems like one of those drafts where you look at the top of the board, you're seeing these elite tackles, you're seeing these big-time guards that all appear to be going early. But, you know, maybe if one of those guys slides to where the Packers are in the first round, you could see, in theory, them in taking a player there. But more to the point, it's a position that what happens in the draft so often is you see that run happen where every team's picking up a tackle or an offensive lineman, and everybody kind of gets caught in that wagon a bit. For the Packers, offensive line will always be considered a need just because of what they've got standing back there, a quarterback, a guy who could very, very well end up being the highest paid player in the league at some point. And again, there's a lot more prospects at the position because you've got, you know, that's almost half of your offense on the field at any given time.
Yeah, the tackle position, offensive tackle this year, kind of considered one of the best positions in the entire draft just because it's so top-heavy. The top three guys, the Packers aren't going to get a sniff of them. You're talking Luke Jokel of Texas A&M, Eric Fisher of Central Michigan, Lane Johnson of Oklahoma. All three of those guys are going to come off the board in the top 10 picks of the NFL draft, probably even before that. So if the Packers go with an offensive lineman, it would probably be somebody, you know, not one of those guys. They're talking the second tier of tackles. I personally think the Packers, even if there's a guy they really like, they almost have to avoid the tackle in this year's draft because in two out of the past three drafts, they've spent first-rounders on offensive tackles. And Brian Bulaga in 2011, Derek Sherrod in 2012, pardon me, I'm a year off there, Bulaga 2010, Sherrod in 2011. But, yeah, I mean, so they've got those guys. They've got Marshall Newhouse. I think the Packers have to just go with those guys for better or worse and hope they live up to their first-round billing. Not to say that they can't add a tackle in the later rounds, the mid-rounds. I certainly think they can add depth there. And center is another position the Packers, I think, should address in this year's draft. Give some competition to Evan Dietrich Smith. Some names there are Wisconsin's Travis Frederick, Alabama's Barrett Jones, and California's Brian Schwenke, three of the top center prospects.
Yeah, and at guard, of course, there's a couple of top guard prospects. And you see some of the mock drafts. You see a couple of these guys sliding a bit. It would be interesting if one of those guys ended up near the latter part of the first round with the Packers on the board.
Yeah, what the Packers have, they've got T.J. Lang and Josh Sitton locked up through 2016 with their contracts. So, I mean, a guy would have to be really, really good for the Packers to draft a pure guard. Now, if they draft an interior lineman who's had some flexibility to maybe play center and guard, that might be a little bit more, appealing to them because they do have a little bit more need at center. But, yeah, I mean, there is definitely some good guards. Chance Warmack might be the best pure guard in the NFL draft to come out in a long time. So there are some good guys.
Brian, you want to stick around for another segment? We have a whole other side of the ball to cover here.
You bet.
All right, Brian Caribou, CheeseheadTV.com. And, again, you can pick up their draft guide at CheeseheadTV.com. Download it in PDF format. Just go right there again to CheeseheadTV.com. And make sure to follow them on Twitter at CheeseheadTV and Facebook at CheeseheadTV for draft day coverage of the Green Bay Packers, instant reaction all throughout the course of the draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming up here real quick. All right, back right after this. Sports Radio 1400, SportsRadio 1400.com, and iHeartRadio. Talking NFL Draft with Brian Caravu of CheeseheadTV.com right now, continuing the conversation. We talked offense, and we talked the overall draft strategy in the first segment. And if you missed it, you can certainly go online to SportsRadio1400.com, or you can find our Sports Radio 1400 Twitter or Facebook pages and get the audio that way as well. But we are moving on in the interview, and do remind you that if you want to pick up a copy of the CheeseheadTV.com draft guide, you just got to visit their website. They have it in a PDF format, so it's not like you have to wait for it to be mailed to you. It'd be kind of inconvenient anyway, since we get started with the draft here real quick, so you can download it right from the website, a PDF format, CheeseheadTV.com for their draft guide. Brian Caravu joining me for this segment. Again, we get on to the defensive side of the ball, and let's start right up front with the big uglies. This is the position I played, and that's what the coach used to say to us, and you'd always look right at me when he'd say it. So defensive lineman, Brian, when we take a look at this position, it's certainly been one where we've seen some high draft picks over the past few years, but we've also seen increasing levels of production, and if you look at last year, for example, just seeing some of these guys develop a bit, it's encouraging to see that some of the guys that they have taken and invested some time in, it's starting to pay off in some ways.
Yeah, certainly B.J. Raji's a guy they took early in the draft a few years ago. He's coming into his own. They've taken last year, the Packers took two pass rushers on the defensive line, Terrell Worthy and Mike Daniels. They're kind of your smaller, quicker type of defensive linemen. So I tend to think the Packers will shy away from taking that type of player this year. Maybe they're looking at bigger guys, taller guys. What's interesting about the Packers' defensive line, they don't have any player taller than 6'3", and while that's plenty taller than I am, in the terms of the world of the NFL, it's not really all that tall. So you think they could maybe look for some guys who provide that kind of length for them. I know Southern Methodist Margus Hunt is a popular name because he's 6'8". He plays defensive end. Maybe he has that kind of ability that he can provide the Packers there in the first round. Tone Jones of UCLA, another name, not quite as tall. I think he's like 6'4", but another first-round option for the Packers. So those are some guys they could be looking at along the defensive line.
Yeah, and one of the things to that, too, in terms of having shorter defensive linemen, not necessarily a bad thing. Usually the taller you are, the harder it is as a lineman to get the leverage. You know, the offensive lineman could have an upper hand on you, but then again, you look at what offensive linemen are going these days. They're all going 6'7", 6'8", so I guess it couldn't hurt to be as tall as them. Brian, we move on to the linebacking core, and this is, again, a position now where it's received some attention. I think the outside linebacking area, I think that has been, you know, an area that they've, I think, at least in terms of draft picks, have solidified. Nick Perry coming in. Of course, Clay Matthews is there. I don't think they'll be replacing him this year. But you look in the interior part of it, and they've always seemed to have gotten by with just kind of whoever is available, and they've managed to find guys that have, you know, plucking them from obscurity and plugging them in and doing a pretty good job, which they've done at several positions, by the way. But interior linebacker, I keep seeing linebacking names linked to the Packers in some of these mock drafts. What are you guys looking at, and how is it playing out in your draft guide?
Yeah, it's really tough to say what the Packers are going to do with their linebackers. I think of any area on the team, the Packers have done the poorest job managing their linebacking core, and it's not all entirely their fault because sometimes they're just simply dealing with injuries. You know, last year, Nick Perry ends up on injured reserve. Desmond Bishop, DJ Smith, all these guys are lost for the year. You don't really know how they're going to bounce back, if they're going to be the same player. So the Packers go in. They re-sign Brad Jones as a free agent this year. They still got DJ Hawk. They got all these guys. They got a lot of depth, but I don't know that any of them are all that good. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Packers address the linebacker position, either inside or outside, maybe not in the first round, but certainly later on. So, I think some of the big names out there are Jarvis Jones of Georgia, who might be an outside linebacker possibly available at number 26. If he's there, the Packers would certainly have a tough choice on their hands, seeing as they do have Nick Perry, they do have Clay Matthews, so do they invest a pick in him? And inside linebacker Arthur Brown of Kansas State is a big name who could be available in the first round. same kind of situation. They've got guys at inside linebacker, so do they really want to spend a first-round pick on them? They'll have some tough choices at the linebacker position.
Yeah, well, one choice that wasn't tough was extending the contract of Clay Matthews, so at least they've gotten that out of the way. It's a long-rumored thing. Now they just got Aaron Rodgers on the docket. Brian Caribou, CheeseheadTV.com, on with me right now, and you are listening to The Water Cooler on Sports Radio 1400. I'm Jimmy Cuska. We move to the defensive backfield, and with Charles Woodson out, it's, you know, people automatically think, well, how do you replace that guy? Then you see what happened last year, and they bring in Casey Hayward, who had just an incredible rookie season, and you look around the secondary, and yeah, you would think that they'll be looking for some depth there when you lose a guy like Charles Woodson. Of course, that's an area where you'd want to look to maybe improve the depth, but the defensive backfield is, I think, for any team in the NFL, is always an area where you're looking for talent. And in this year's draft, there's only a couple of those prospects that look to be going high, but you start looking in that latter part of the first round, second round, third round, and you see a lot of defensive back prospects, corner and safety available, including some of the top safeties.
Yeah, I think for the Packers, the number one need on the team is at safety. Now that they've released Charles Woodson, there's a spot open opposite Morgan Burnett that could be filled by a rookie from day one, just inserted in the starting lineup right away. Now, certainly, there's going to be other guys competing for that spot, Jerron McMillan, M.D. Jennings. But these guys were not so good last year that they are the unquestioned starters. So, yeah, I think safety is definitely a position that could be addressed round one. If I had to guess any position, I would think that's where the Packers go. Some guys who are some of the best safeties would be Texas's Kenny Vaccaro. I'm not sure he slides all the way to number 26 in the first round, but a couple other guys who I think could be there would be Florida International's Jonathan Cyprian, and then LSU's Eric Reed. So two guys, I think those could be the names to keep your eye on and could be the Packers' next first-round draft choice.
Brian, lastly, and I'm not going to forget this position just because these are end up being very critical positions, as we saw throughout last year, and that is the specialist positions, kicker, punter. And I know that the kicker position is certainly one getting a ton of attention this offseason after Mason Crosby's struggles last year. I was actually kind of pleased to see some links to Minnesota's kicker, University of Minnesota. I know we're Wisconsin guys, but, you know, hey, anytime there's a guy that's within talking distance here, it's kind of cool to talk about. But there's obviously going to be a lot of names at those positions that are going to pop up, and you don't spend an early draft pick on a kicker or punter, otherwise you risk ridicule for, you know, years to come, like the Jaguars are dealing with right now with drafting a punter so early last year. But you look maybe later in the draft, or of course in free agency, rookie free agency, for maybe a kicking guy to come in and push a Mason Crosby and I guess in terms of looking at some of the names linked to them, I mean, any number of people can be, but for the Packers, how important is it that they find somebody to compete with Crosby and give them some competition there going into next year?
Yeah, I think if there's a guy the Packers really like at the kicker position, they're set at punter. They're not going to address that, but at the kicker position, if there's a guy they like, they could end up spending a draft choice on one. Kind of interesting, I take part in this online mock draft, entire seven round. What we do is we get, you know, every team in the NFL represented by somebody, and I was the Packers representative over at this website called mock1.net. And when it came around to the sixth round, and I'm probably crazy for participating in an entire seven round draft mock draft, but anyway, when the sixth round came around and who I thought was the top kicker was still on the board, that's who I took for the Green Bay Packers. His name's Dustin Hopkins. He's from Florida State. I think he's the top kicking prospect in this year's draft class. There's a couple others out there as well, Quinn Sharp of Oklahoma State, Caleb Sturgis of Florida. So a couple names out there that the Packers could potentially spend a late-round draft choice on.
Brian Caribou of CheeseheadTV.com. You want to head there and check out their draft guide. Make sure you go and check that out. It's a very, very handy tool. If you're a Packers fan and you're following along with the draft and you want to stay on top of things, make sure you head on over there to get that download. as you get ready for your 3 days of NFL draft planning. Of course, you can follow live analysis of the NFL draft, Brian Caravu, on Twitter, at Brian Caravu, pretty easy there. And, of course, at Cheesehead TV and CheeseheadTV.com. You can find all of the analysis there as well, including but not limited to the NFL draft free agency, the NFL schedule recap, and more. Brian, it has been terrific to talk to you again. I forget how much fun we have with these. It's kind of hard to believe this is what I do for a living. I get to talk Packers draft plans with you, but it's been a lot of fun to talk about it and have fun with the draft. It's one of my favorite times of the year just because I like seeing where these college guys end up playing in the pros. And if you're a Packers fan, it takes on a little bit more importance again because this ends up being the core of your team for the foreseeable future. So a lot of good stuff coming up. Thanks again, Brian.
Thanks a lot. I enjoyed talking draft and enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, no problem. We'll talk to you again real soon, man. Brian Caravu right there. CheeseheadTV.com, and again, is the website to check out his work. Back right after this on Sports Radio 1400 WBIZ.